While we're sorting it out, turn to the person next to you and tell them what you got for Christmas or what you hope to get for Christmas when you get home. Okay, seeing as I got you to do that, just call out some of the things that you said. What do you get? What Christmas presents? What are we getting? Yes? A robot vacuum cleaner. Okay, you can try it out at my house, okay? What else? A new house. A new house, yes, Martin and Kelly, well done. Yep, what else? Come on, don't be sure. Yes? A golf buggy and... Well done, yeah? A toy octopus from Finding... That's fantastic. Well, I hope you all enjoy opening your presents and getting them later if you haven't already. Let me pray. Our Father God, as we come to look at your word, we pray that like Mary, that we will ponder all these things in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when it comes to Christmas, Jesus has a credibility problem. Santa turns up every year, but for more than 2,000 years now, Jesus has not been seen. Jesus kicked the show off all those years ago on that first Christmas, but now Santa turns up every year, but Jesus hasn't bothered to show up again. And when you think of Santa, his track record is pretty impressive. There are at least 2 billion children under 18 in the world, but Santa doesn't handle Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist and Jewish children, so his workload is reduced to a mere 15% of the total, which equates to 378 million children. At an average rate of 3.5 children per household, that's 91.8 million homes. Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with, thanks to time zones and the rotation of the Earth, assuming he travels east to west. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. So for each household, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park, hop out, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the gifts under the tree, eat the snacks, get back up the chimney, get back in the sleigh and move on to the next house. If we assume that the houses are distributed evenly, we are talking about 1.25 kilometres per house. So Santa's sleigh will travel at 1,046 kilometres per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. Pretty impressive in anyone's language. And next year, as regular as clockwork, he's there again, doing it all over. Santa turns up every year without fail. But how many times does the Bible tell us Jesus will come? Only twice. He came once on that first Christmas day when he didn't bring any gifts but only received them. And the Bible tells us he is coming again. But year in and year out, we may hold out in hope that this will be the year. But nope, we think maybe next year will be the one. Is it any wonder then that scoffers come? And that is exactly what Peter wrote to a group of Christians many years ago, as was read by Murray for us. You must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. That's what they said then, and that's what people say today. Where is this coming? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back. The fact of the return of Jesus is something that doesn't get mentioned much these days. We expect Santa to be back next year, but how many of us really think that one day Jesus will come again? But the Bible tells us that he is coming back. And so that's the first thing that I want us to note this Christmas morning, the certainty of Jesus' return. This is what Peter says in verse 8 of chapter 3 of his second letter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Make no mistake about it. Jesus will return, says Peter, because the God that Christians follow is a God who keeps his promises. He goes on and says that that day, the day of the Lord, will come like a thief. You see, Jesus coming back is nothing like when Santa Claus comes. We know what that is like when Santa comes. We anticipate it for months, or perhaps we dread it for months. We know the exact day. Next year, it will be December 25th again. Now, I could tell you that it will be January 3rd, but you know that it won't be. Or February the 18th, but you know it won't. December 25th every year. We know when he's coming, and the shops remind us months before with the songs and the produce that's put out. We know what we have to do to be ready, and usually we are. Even those of us who duck out on Christmas Eve to do the last minute shopping. Now, fess up, folks. Hands up if you were in the shops any time after midday yesterday in a frenzy. Yes, a few of you. Okay. But you were ready, or you are ready. Or at least your wife hopes you are. But when Jesus comes back, it won't be like that. It will be like when a thief turns up, when we least expect it. The thief doesn't ring up and says, tonight's the night, I'll be there at 6. Ring up the police now so they can arrest me. No, it doesn't work like that. No, he comes when you don't have a clue. So too will it be with Jesus' return. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared for it to happen at any time because we don't know when. In fact, if someone says they know when Jesus is coming back, you can be sure they are wrong, for no one knows. But come back he will. The day will come like a thief, says Peter. So let us remember this Christmas the certainty of Jesus' return. And secondly, let us remember the challenge of Jesus' return. From verse 8 again, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I suspect that some of you have been sitting there thinking, if he's coming back, why doesn't he just get on with it and come? A bit like when I call for dinner in our house and say, dinner's ready. And from the floor above, the voices will come, coming, 5 minutes later, dinner's ready. 5 minutes later, coming, a bit more, dinner's ready, coming. And then you just get fed up and say, well, why don't you stop coming and just come? And it might be a bit like that. Jesus, why don't you stop saying you're coming and come? Why the delay is a fair enough question to ask. But Peter tells us there is a very good reason for the delay. It is for our benefit, to give us time to stop trying to get right with God on our own and to ask him for help. Trying to do it on our own is what we might call the Santa Claus syndrome. You see, Santa offers his goodies on the condition that you are good. Now, I love the tune, but I hate the words because they're so wrong. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You can try that approach with Santa, and it will work for you. But if we try that approach with God, it just won't work, for no one is good. Not one, says the Bible. So if you're trying to get right with God by being good, then forget it. Jesus' return is delayed because God wants to give us time to do what the Bible calls repentance. And what repentance means is to stop running life your way and putting Jesus in charge. Instead of living for yourself, you live for him. It is a time of having a fresh start. And instead of us giving gifts, we receive the wonderful gift of forgiveness by God's grace, by his sheer generosity. We don't deserve it, and we certainly can't earn it. So we need to repent, to turn back to God, and we need to do it now. Because when Jesus returns, it will be too late to do that. Too late to go out to our Meijer now and buy gifts for Christmas. They're closed. Well, when Jesus comes back, it's too late to say, sorry, I've gone my own way, I've rejected you. We need to do it while there is still time. And the world will come to an end, and everyone in it will be judged. But God is a God who is rich in mercy, and so he wants to give us time to turn to him. Santa Claus says he has good news for those who are good. But Jesus says he has good news for those who are bad. He longs for all, no matter how good or bad they are, to turn to him. If you haven't done that, then what better time than Christmas 2016 to do so? And this could then be the best Christmas you have ever had. The challenge of Jesus' return is to repent. Sadly for many, we don't do that. We want to run our lives our own way and keep God out of the picture. Or we try to do it by being good, but we can never be good enough. But let us remember the challenge today. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The first thing to remember this Christmas is the certainty of Jesus' return. The second is the challenge of Jesus' return. And the third is the comfort of Jesus' return. If you repent, you avoid what Peter calls perishing. Instead of facing an angry God, you face a God who welcomes you into his heaven. Instead of this life being the end, life goes on in a wonderful way. And as we think of the future, that is a great comfort. For all of us, I suspect, Christmas has a tinge of sadness because of people that are not with us. People who in days gone by had Christmas lunch with us. People who laughed and joked at some of the funny presents that were given, or some of the presents that you thought were useless and you only fessed up to that a few years down the track. People who reminisced with you as the discussion got around to days past. But this Christmas, all that we have left of them are memories. But friends, the great comfort of the message of Christmas is that for the Christian, this life is not the end. You see, how will you punctuate your life? For some people, when they die, it's like an exclamation mark. They die suddenly, and much interest surrounds it. So we can look back on people like Princess Diana or Michael Jackson, or the last year, Prince, who died suddenly and tragically. For others, death is just a full stop. They can pass away quietly in their sleep, and most of the world don't even know about it. But for the Christian, death is not a full stop. It is not even an exclamation mark. No, for the Christian, we know that there is more. Death for them is nothing but a comma. Life doesn't come to an end. It carries on into all of eternity. Yes, Santa will be back next year. but you can be certain that Jesus will come back one day. And in the meantime, for those who belong to him, there is the great promise that he is with them always. When he left, he says, "Lo, I am with you always." Santa's only around at this time of year. But for the Christian, they have Jesus by their side, always. And so the Christian can say to their children, "Jesus is standing by your bed when you go to bed at night. He is with you when you get up in the morning. He is with you when you go to school. And if mummy and daddy die, Jesus will be right there with you also." And when Jesus comes back, every one of us will see him, not as a baby in a manger, but as God's glorious, majestic, eternal King of the universe, our King. Are you looking forward to that day and to seeing Jesus and being in his kingdom? It is coming, for as the carol tells us in Once in Royal David City, "And he leads his children on to the place where he has gone, not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by. We shall see him but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high." So the great challenge to us is to repent, to hand control of our lives over to Jesus. And if we do that, we have the comfort of knowing that death is not the end, it is but a comma in our story. For the promise to all who repent is that they will receive life forever with the Lord Jesus in heaven. So may this Christmas be a time when we remember the certainty of Jesus' return, a time when we take up the challenge of Jesus' return, and a time when we all know the comfort of Jesus' return. May the Lord bless you all this Christmas. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our next hymn, the carol, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." And for our sides people, this will not be the offertory song. We're going to do that at the end. So a wonderful carol. Let's stand and sing.